Welcome to the October 19th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Show Me Your Glory. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, all right. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. I kind of feel all alone up here, but I'm glad you showed up for worship this morning. We welcome you to College Park. Mary is not here today. She is visiting family. And so the choir decided to go on strike, and there nobody's singing this morning. So we want to make some announcements as we get started with worship. We want to find out who is here today. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike to fill those out, put your name down. Guests, we do ask that if you feel comfortable, just to put your contact information there. And we do ask everybody else to just check the appropriate boxes. This helps us know who is in worship today. We appreciate you helping us with this. Once it gets to the end of your pew, if you would send it back so that it goes back to where it got started. We do ask that the first person, when it gets back to you, if you'd rip out those pages so our ushers can get those at the end of the service, that would be helpful. Reminder for our children, we are having children's time today. I want you to come down and join me for just a few minutes. It's right after the first hymn, so that's a little bit earlier than normal. So I want to make sure that you notice that children's time right after the first hymn. We are having regular schedule today, including our life service tonight at 7 o'clock. That is our contemporary service. We hope that you're able to come to be a part of that. Sweet. That's awesome. The radio station or something. Is that me? Perks. We are having our live service, which is our contemporary service, tonight at 7 o'clock in Smith Hall. A reminder for our children and our youth, third grade and older, boys and girls, we are starting our basketball Hoops for Him teams this Tuesday. If you are a girl, or if you are a third through a sixth grader, you will have practice at Old Town Elementary at 6 o'clock this Tuesday night. So all the girls, 7th through 12th grade, and then boys and girls, 3rd through 6th grade, which is our junior co-ed team and our girls team, you will practice at 6 at both at Old Town Elementary this Tuesday. And then our intermediate boys, our 7th through 9th grade boys, and then our 10th through 12th grade boys, both at 7:30 at Old Town. You should have received something in the mail about that, but everybody this Tuesday will start our basketball teams for this upcoming season at Old Town Elementary. We've got a big event next Sunday from 4 until 7. It is our Fall Family Festival. This has become a great annual event that we do. There are sign-ups. We need chili. We need soups. We need desserts. Other than that, it's free. And we want you to come that doesn't cost a whole lot. And other than that, we've got lots of activities. There will be inflatable games like we've had before. The youth will be doing trunk or treat, which is a new thing for us. They will be providing activities and games and snacks for the kids. There will be pony rides. There will be some new things that we haven't done before. So we hope that you'll come next Sunday afternoon from 4 until 7. The sign-ups for the food and for helping us out is at the Welcome Center desk. We need as much help as possible with this, so if you could sign up as you're leaving church today, that would be very helpful. Let's see. Bobby Hunt. Where's Bobby? Come on, man.
Good morning. Most of you probably know me. My name is Bobby Hunt, and I'm a member of our team, I Am. As most of you know, this is a mission that the church has established for our local community, and we can make a difference in the lives of people. Our committee has identified a local family that can use our help. We have helped this family once in the past, but they still have a need. The couple, the wife is totally blind, and the husband is legally blind. I've been over to the house, and they need some help. They need some organization. They need some shelving. I can't believe that they've got steps in this house that go up probably 20 steps, no hand railings. So there's a need for us to go over and do a few things for them. I've established this date to be November the 1st. And what I would like is after the service next Sunday, those of you that can participate and help, if you could meet with me for just a few minutes right after the sermon, I'd like to just share with you what our needs there will be. It's a project that I feel like we can easily complete in a day, perhaps a little bit less. Need some good basic carpentry skills. One other team that I'm going to need there, and I believe Barbie named them, our Sparkle team. After we do some of this organization for this family, they're going to need to know where everything is, and the house does need a good cleaning also. So that's all I have at this time. I'm going back over and do some measuring this week and try to establish exactly what we do need. But we're also looking if there's another need, something not really major but small that we could add into this day. I think we'll certainly have the assistance from this church that we would need. So our committee is always looking, but I can sure use your help, too. If you know someone locally that we could help that needs it, please get in touch with me and let me know. Thank you.
We certainly appreciate Bobby and all the people that work with Team I Am. This is our local mission to our community. We're trying to reach out to people in need and that would have the need for home remodeling or assistance, but just don't have the resources to make that happen. So we hope that you're able to participate in that. We have a special event. Bobby said that was November 1st. On November the 8th, for our first through sixth graders, we're having an event called Christmas Around the World. This is a statewide event that we're hosting here at College Park. We want all of our first through sixth graders to come to be a part of this. It's going to be a big day. We'll have mission. It's a mission day where our kids will be traveling around the world and seeing what missionaries are doing throughout the world and how people around this earth, they celebrate Christmas. And so it's going to be a lot of fun things for our kids to do. And so we hope that you sign up was this past Wednesday, but we're going to extend that a little bit longer. So if you're interested, it's $15 for the day. They get you Chick-fil-A plus some other things as well. And so we hope that you'll first through sixth graders can be a part of that. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. Guests, you have already given us your information on the pew pads, and we appreciate you doing that. These ushers, they would like to give something back to you. If you're a guest, we just invite you to just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will see you and pass you some information. They will give you this packet. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as the story of College Park, and also the newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. So we hope that this hour of worship will be a blessing to you, and we appreciate you coming to be with us this morning. It is time for us to prepare our hearts for God to come in and meet with us. Let us prepare our hearts for worship now. How's everybody? Good, good. Yeah, we got. Oh, we're gonna wait. Hey. Okay. So I have a question. Are you scared of the dark? Kind of. Oh. Well, okay. Am I the only one that's scared of the dark? Pretty much. Okay. Well, when I was little, and that was a long time ago, that was, you know, I was scared of the dark. You know, and I was scared of, have you, like when you were little, like a long time ago, remember like going to bed and your mommy or daddy would tuck you in and they turn the lights out? How many have nightlights? Ooh, okay. My mom didn't love me, so I didn't have a nightlight. What if that nightlight goes out? Does that make you... Okay, and so sometimes we get scared when all the lights go away. What does that light do? What does that nightlight do for you? How does that make you feel? Okay, it makes you feel happy. Much better. That's exactly right. Makes you feel much better. Well, you know, Pastor Raymond, he's going to talk in a little while about a time when Moses. Moses is somebody that we read about in the Old Testament. And he was going through kind of a tough time in the Old Testament when he felt like he was about the only one. And what happened was he was with God one day and he kind of felt like he was in the dark. And he said, you know, God, what's going to happen? You know, you have not told me who's going to go with me when I have to go do all this stuff that you wanted me to do. And God said, you know what? I'm going to be with you. And sometimes that's kind of like having the biggest nightlight ever is having God on your side. I mean, it's like this light, this, you see how powerful it is? My hand is even getting pretty warm. If I was to put that in your eye, that it would kind of hurt, wouldn't it? Yeah, so I'm not going to do that. And God told Moses, he said, you know what? You couldn't stand it if I showed you my whole self. I'm so good that you couldn't stand it. And he said, I'm just going to show you just a little bit of me. You can see the light, can't you? But it's just a reflection. God said, I'm going to give you just a little bit of me, because that's all you can handle. And that's all you're going to need. Because sometimes it gets dark. Sometimes it gets scary in the world. Sometimes it gets scary. But God says, guess what? I'm going to show you my glory, and I'm going to give you exactly what you need. And that's what he did for Moses. And that's what he does for us. When we have our nightlight, when it's dark, when it's sometimes it's scary. Yes, ma'am. See, that's exactly, I'm going to come to your house and see it. And I want to see everybody's nightlight. And the most important thing is, God is the light for us. Okay? Can you pray for me? Can you pray with me? Everybody, bow your hands. God, we love you and we thank you for the fact that sometimes when it's dark outside, that you are the light of the world. And that you are so good and you are so bright that there's nothing that we can't face, that we can't get through without you. Help us to remember that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats now.
Thank you, Melissa. Can your daddy sing too? Man, what a blessing. It's good to see you this morning. Hope you're doing well. I was reading a story this week as it related to electricity and power and all of these things, and reading through a number of illustrations. And I ran across one which was actually pretty fascinating. It was a story of a lady that as electricity became available in small and outlying rural areas, there was a woman that went to a great deal of trouble and a great deal of expense, because she was at the end of a line, as they would say, to have power put into her home, to have electrical power actually run to her home and installed. And after it had been installed at her expense and inconvenience, the electrical company noticed about 2 months later that she wasn't using any power. Or at least that's what they thought. So, you know, electrical companies, it really wasn't in her best interest that they were concerned about. They were afraid that the meter wasn't working. And so they sent the meter, you know, Jeremy, you're the only choir person back. I turned to the choir and it's like, hello, you know, I talk to you. Okay. They go out to this house to check the meter, and Jeremy, the meter was fine. It was fine. The meter was fine. And so the meter reader went in. He was glad there was no dog there. He went in and he talked to the lady. He said, ma'am, what's the problem? I mean, you went to all this expense and everything. Why are you not using electricity? And the lady said, I'm using electricity. So when we come home in the evenings, I'll turn on the light just to go over and see how to light my lamps. And I'll light my lamps and then I'll turn the electricity off. And she looked at the guy, this looked like, so what's the problem? And he said, no problem, ma'am, and he left. And he left, and wisely so. You know, to many of us, that may sound a little ridiculous. We think, you know, what's she doing? But personally, I find that a little bit refreshing. I really do. The point of the story, obviously, is the fact that, you know, we have all this power at our fingertip disposal, but yet we're not utilizing it, and yada, yada, yada. It's supposed to make a nice, smooth transition into a sermon. But personally, I have a little bit of an issue with that, because I think what she was doing was very refreshing. Because in terms of material resources, she was being a very good steward of that. You know, the idea of not consuming all you can consume just for the sake of you have it. But see, when you deal with the spiritual realm, the illustration is valid. Because in the spiritual realm, when it comes to the power and the presence of God, I believe we should be superconductors. You know, we should be power conductors unlike anything else, because that is exactly what God desires for us. You know, that we be channeling, that we be conducting His inexhaustible power through us to accomplish His desires and His purpose. Unfortunately, we go out of our way and we come to church and we worship, but during the rest of the week, we don't have that kind of relationship with God. You know, we go through difficulties day by day by day, and we worry and we fret and we do all that. And it's only at the end of our strength and power that we turn to God and say, God, I need your help. We have that power. We have that power of God at our disposal all the time. But yet we attempt to go by our own strength every day. Every day. So I guess, in the negative sense, we're a lot more like that lady with the electricity than maybe we want to admit. So we need to experience the presence of God in order to experience His power. Moses knew that. Just like electricity, when we remove the presence of God from our lives, we remove the power. And Moses knew that. And so in Exodus chapter 33, I'll give you a moment just to turn there with me, because we're going to be reading and talking and reading and talking and reading, that type of thing. So you may need to stay with me a little bit this morning. But Exodus chapter 33, we're going to begin reading in verse 12. And as Jeff has so nicely prefaced where we're going here, you know, Moses was at a tough spot. You know, the presence of God had been removed from the camp, and he's kind of in a tough spot, because he's trying to lead, but yet he was seeking God's leadership. And so he goes to God, and in beginning in verse 12 of Exodus 33, he says, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people. but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses knew that he needed to live in the presence of God. Living in the presence of God. When go back and think back. When God created humanity, all of humanity, he created man for a personal relationship, for fellowship with God. That's why we were created. And God literally walked and talked in the garden with Adam and Eve. Let that sink in. He literally walked and talked in the garden with Adam and Eve. They had the benefit of his full presence with him. They were able to completely enjoy the divine presence. You know, and God's desire for our life is to be just like that. To have that same kind of relationship. That you walk daily with him. Feel his full presence. And he wants you to be in that kind of relationship. Now Moses, as he's speaking with God, he's reminding God of his promises. Now why do you think he does that? It's obviously not because God forgot. I mean, you know, Moses didn't think that, I'm sure. It's not like, God, well, you forgot, so let me remind you of what you said. No, Moses is in a crisis. He has a genuine concern here. God had removed his presence from the Israelite camp, and there was no longer a sense of divine in terms of Israel and their purpose. And that scared Moses. It frightened him. It terrified him. And the question comes to my mind is, how are we like that in our personal life? You know, do we feel the same way about church, but we're afraid to say it? Do we feel like the presence has been removed, but we're afraid to say it? You know, how often do we come into this sanctuary week after week after week, but yet we feel we have no experience with God? And if that's the case, what's the problem? I think the answer, as it's being revealed in Scripture, is that when we don't feel the presence of God, it's because we're not seeking His presence. We're not seeking God. We're settling for the status quo and we kind of leave our lives there. You know, we settle for what we've already experienced with God. So therefore, we're not growing in our relationship with God. We settle with where we are with God. So therefore, we're never going to move forward any further in our walk with God. And the truth is that we can't settle. We can't be satisfied. We need to continue to be seeking God in His presence. When Moses sought God, what did he do? He did it through communication, through fervent prayer. He spoke to God. He sought God by going to his knees. And the problem, I think, with the church now, the church being the Christian church, not College Park, I think the whole church, is that we say we want a personal relationship with God. We say, oh God, I seek a relationship with you. I want to know you more perfectly. And we sing all those hymns that express that. But the problem is, we're not willing to commit the time and the energy to developing that relationship. We're not willing to make the sacrifice in terms of our time and energy. Now, if you want a relationship with a person, guys, you want a relationship with a girl, you have to spend a little time and energy, right? And resources. However that, amen we get from the ladies. Yeah. Okay. We have to make that sacrifice. But it's a worthy sacrifice. It's a worthy sacrifice. The same is exactly true and even more so exponentially in our relationship with God. We need to make the sacrifice. In order to build an intimate relationship with God, it takes time and it takes effort. It doesn't happen overnight. But see, a lot of people say, I want that relationship and I want how that benefits me. So they seek a shortcut. They say, I'm going to go to that worship service over there because it makes me feel good. And feel good replaces deep, intimate relationship. The relationship takes time and energy. It's not a 20-minute emotional high. Now what Moses says to God in verse 13 is that he wants three things from God. He says, if my life is going to be pleasing to you, I want you to teach me your ways. Moses wants to know God's ways so that he can keep following. And it's only when we know the ways of God that we're going to be able to follow God. And he also says, God, I want to know you. Because once you know God's ways, then you begin to know God. But you're never going to know God if you don't know God's word. So that's where it requires time and effort and energy. And it's only when we know God personally that we're going to be called as people. So Moses says, let me live in your favor. Let me do the things. Let my life be pleasing to you. I want your favor to rest on my life. And it's impossible to have the divine favor of our God if we don't know him personally. So when we do these things, it opens up our life to the presence of God. And when we live in God's presence and we get to know him and get to know him more deeply and intimately, then the floodgates open and the presence of God becomes more and more and more real. Not just in the way we think, but in the way we live that out in our lives. So Moses says, you know, I want to live in the presence of God. The second thing is that we want to live in the pleasure of grace. If we'll go to verse 15, we'll continue there. Then Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with us and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. We want to live in the presence of God, but we also want to live in the pleasure of grace. You know, Moses is speaking with God and he's asking God in essence, he says, God, prove your faithfulness. Prove your faithfulness to me. You know, and in his presence, he understands is connected to the reality of God's pleasure in his life. So if God's not pleased with our actions, then his presence is not going to be as evident in our lives. So God makes a distinction here. He makes a distinction between his people and the rest of his rest of the world, the people of the world, by showing his pleasure in divine presence. So how do we apply that? If you think about it, as a church, if the church is void of the presence of God, then basically we're not pleasing him. Can we agree on that? Okay, that kind of goes against our whole purpose. So God proves his faithfulness through divine presence. So if God is not present in our personal lives, then we're not pleasing to him. So how do we live to please God? Somebody asked me that. How do we live to please God? I'm glad you asked. There's several ways. And we're going to be going through several passages of scripture. If you want to make a note of what these are, you may have trouble keeping up with me because I'm going to be moving quickly. But the first way that we please God, the way that we live to please God, is we please God by loving him. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. See, our first priority should be to love God with every fiber of our being, our whole being. We are called to love God supremely. His desire is that he is first and foremost in our lives, period. He is first and foremost. So we love God with all that we are and all that we have. The second way I think we live to please God is by believing in him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Believing in God. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's no way that we're going to be able to please God if we don't believe in him. We place our faith completely in God, and even when life doesn't make sense, maybe especially when life doesn't make sense, we place our complete trust in God. Thirdly, we please God by obeying him. John chapter 15, verse 14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus is telling his followers, you are my friend if you do what I command. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Obeying God. You know, he told his disciples, you'll become my friend as you obey me, as you learn through obedience. Our relationship with God swings on the hinge of obedience. And you may be thinking in your mind, oh, wait a minute, preacher. A couple weeks ago, I distinctly remember you saying that God is not interested in just being busy for God. Not, God is not interested in good, us doing good deeds. You're right. He's not interested in us doing good deeds. He's interested in us doing God deeds. Remember that? God deeds, the things of God, what God requires of us, true obedience that comes from a heart that's developed an intimate relationship with the Creator. That's what he's interested in. He wants obedience from us. Fourthly, we please God by praising him. One of the most beautiful psalms in all of Scripture is Psalm 150. And it begins like this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Why do we praise God? We praise God because our offering of praise is placing the proper priority in the relationship. We understand who he is, and we praise him because of who he is. We give thanks because of what he does, but we praise him because he alone is worthy of our praise. That's why we praise him, and that's pleasing to him. And fifth, I think we please God by serving him. Jesus came as God with us, and he gave us a model of service. Servant, a suffering servant. And he wants us to live out our lives serving him. This means more than just showing up on Sunday, maybe Wednesday, depending on the menu. All right? It's more than that. True service is lived out every single day. It's in the way we think and talk and interact with others and walk and talk with God. Every aspect of our life. So we should be living in God's presence. We should be living in the pleasure of grace. Thirdly, as we look at our story from Moses and pick up in verse 18, I think we need to strive toward living in the preeminence of God. And then Moses said, show me your glory. God, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see it and live. Then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you can go and stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you'll see my back, but my face must not be seen. Living in the preeminence of God, preeminence reveals the fact that God has all surpassing and never ending glory. The glory of God is, I don't think we can wrap our human minds around it. We're not capable of understanding the full glory of God. The Hebrew word for glory is kabod, K-A-B-O-D, which means to have manifest honor, utmost reputation, and the height, the complete height of reverence. That's what glory means. And the implication of what Moses, if you think about it, the implication of what he's asking for is staggering. Moses is asking to see the Creator God in all of his glory, with no barriers. He wanted to see God without barriers. He wanted to see God for all that he was and all that he is. Have you ever sought that? Have you ever thought to yourself, I'd like to see God in all of his glory? The only part that Moses was not allowed to see was his face. God did not allow him to see his face because there was still a need for separation between God and humanity because of sin. And even the most intimate relationship with God at that point could not bridge the gap. But God sent Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. The presence of God is with us here today because of the fact that Jesus lived, showed us how to live, died, showed us how to die, was resurrected, and showed us that we have victory over death if we trust Him as our Savior. And when Jesus died on the cross, remember the story. When He died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn. It was torn from top to bottom, from God to man. Remember, the veil was there because the Holy of Holies was separated from the people by this veil. The presence of God was separated from the people by this veil. And at His death and resurrection, that veil was torn so that we could fully experience the presence of God as much as possible in human flesh. So there are two things that we must do if we want to see the glory of God displayed in our lives. First, we need to live daily striving to be in His presence, seeking the presence of God in our lives. That should be our desire above all else. So are you seeking God, or are you hiding like Adam in your sin? Secondly, we need to live daily to please God. Are your actions pleasing to Him, or are you seeking to please yourself? So are you living in the presence of God? Are you living to please God? And are you living in the glory of God? This morning, the only thing that's holding you back from a deeper relationship with God is you. Because God wants to know, He wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him more and experience more of His presence. He wants to show you His glory, but that must be our desire as well.
Caught a glimpse of Your splendor out the corner of my eye. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It was like a flash of lightning reflecting off the sky. And I know I'll never be the same. Show me Your glory. Send down Your presence. I wanna see Your face. Show me Your glory. Majesty shines about You, and I can't go on without You, Lord. When I climb down the mountain and get back to my life, I won't settle for ordinary things. I'm gonna follow You forever, for all of my days. I won't rest until I see You again. Show me Your glory. Send down Your presence. I wanna see Your face. Show me Your glory. Majesty shines about You, and I can't go on without You, Lord. Show me Your glory. Send down Your presence. I wanna see Your face. Show me Your glory. Majesty shines about You, and I can't go on without You, Lord.
May we pray. Our Lord and our Savior, we stand in awe in your presence on this beautiful day. Lord, you have been so good to us in so many ways. We know that your Son has been sent for each of us so that we may have eternal life. And for that, we are most grateful because we know that we are all so unworthy. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we thank you for this place of worship and for the leaders who have responded to your call. We have been so blessed in so many ways. At this time of the service, may you bless the gift and the giver and use it to honor your kingdom. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
For our scripture lesson this morning, I'll be reading first from the book of Psalms in the 99th Psalm. If you don't have your Bible with you, feel free to read along in the pew Bible. This is Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. And from the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians, in the first chapter, 1 Thessalonians, beginning at verse 1, the beginning of a letter. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Christ Jesus. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols and to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, this morning you have shown us your glory. In this hour of worship, with the sun beaming brightly through the windows, beautiful voices lifted up in praise, the warm smiles and hugs of friends and fellow believers, and most importantly, your spirit with us in worship today, Lord, for your presence and your glory, we thank you. Lord, you have shown us your glory in the past week, in the things that we have experienced, in the good and the bad, in the birth of a little baby, in the death of an old friend, in days not feeling so well, and in days that we feel like we're on top of the world. You have shown us your glory, Lord. You have shown us your presence and graced us with your love. And we are very grateful. Lord, as today begins a new week with new challenges and new things ahead of us, most of which we don't know what they will be. Lord, help us to seek your presence even more, to seek that relationship with you that we've heard about this morning in message and in scripture and in song that is deeper and richer and more abundant than what we sometimes will allow you to give us. Lord, help us to find it and help us to find you in everything this week and to go to you. Lord, I love those words in the letter to the people of Thessalonica. How incredible it would be if we were, as the body of Christ, known to others in our community for our faith and our work inspired by love and our endurance inspired by hope. How amazing that would be if we could be known by that. Lord, help us to do the things in your name, to do the deeds for you that will cause us to be thought of in that way by others, not for our own sake and our own popularity and reputation, but for you, so that others may know you and others may see that there's something special going on with the Holy Spirit. There's something special that Jesus Christ is doing in our lives that allows us to reach out to others. Help us to meet the great needs of those around us and to do your will, to be the people that you want us to be today and all through this week. Lord, it's in your Son's name that we pray and praise you today and every day. Amen.
I want to ask if you would join me in standing. There's a response to the glory of God that's printed there. We're going to read responsively. I invite you to join me in standing for this reading. Eternal God, you are the power behind all things. Eternal God, you are the power behind all minds. Eternal God, you are the power behind the cross of Christ.
Behind the weakness, the torture, and the death, behind the unconquerable love.
Eternal God, we worship and adore you. Amen. This morning, if you would like to respond to what you've experienced in worship, we have an opportunity for you to do that. We're going to sing in just a moment hymn number 486, Lord, Here Am I. And I pray that as you sing the song that you would understand what the words mean and that they would indeed be your prayer of commitment to follow Christ, to make yourself available to a relationship with Him. If you're not a believer, you don't have a relationship with Him yet other than one that's alienated because of your sin. I'd be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to have the kind of relationship and the full presence of God that we've been talking about this morning. If you are a believer and you've been settling, this is an opportunity to talk with God, ask for His forgiveness, for the grace to restore you to a relationship with Him and full fellowship with Him, where you can begin to walk daily with Him like He desires for you. If you're here and you're a believer and would like to join in the fellowship of this church and not sure how we do that, I'll be glad to share with you. There's several ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that now as we sing together, Lord, Here Am I. If you would be seated for just a moment, I want to introduce to you Marie Stroop. Marie, come on up here. She is a student here in town at Piedmont Baptist College, and she's been with us for a couple of months now, I guess since school started, and she has requested membership here at College Park. She needs a lot of prayer because her father's a pastor. So, you know, the odds are already stacked against her. But if you will receive her and pray for her and encourage her as she continues to grow in this fellowship, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
All right, very good. She is going to be right here following the benediction. And I invite you to come down and speak with her, offer encouragement to her. And as we often say with a lot of our students and single adults, if you'd like to take them to dinner and provide a good meal there and have them over to your house and things like that, I'm sure that she would welcome that, right? Okay, fantastic. Very good. Would you stand with me now for the benediction? Dear Father, we thank you for what we've experienced in worship today. But we also pray that it wouldn't just be an intellectual exercise, but that it would be life-changing. And that this week, we would seek you more. That we would seek your presence in our personal relationship as well as the way it manifests itself in our daily lives. Father, we love you. We praise you. Pray now that you would walk with us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.